It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
But we gotta keep fighting for the right to be free. And every human being doesn't have to agree. We all bleed red, brother, listen to me. It's time for love and unity.
We the people. Let's go, Brandon.
There's your theme song.
There you go.
That's all you, Sammy. Sam Scarmardo is our guest, of course, from samsguns.com. He's the owner. And is it still called Sam Shooters Emporium?
No, not really.
Not
but
so much.
People know that. I mean, when I use up the business cards, then it'll be samsguns.com.
Right, right. Have you sold the store?
No, I have not.
You have not?
No, I have not. I got an offer on the building.
I was going to say, you did get an offer on the building, though.
We do drag around 1,000 friggin' guns and 2-3 tons of ammunition. You know?
That might draw some attention, you think?
A little bit. I mean, I legally could do it. I could keep my license and just sell at gun shows if I want, but I don't particularly want to sell at gun shows. I do just to sponsor the gun shows, but...
Just out of curiosity, where would you keep all that ammo and over 1,000 weapons? Where would you keep all that? If you did sell the building.
Unspecified security place. So.
Well, I know that. But, no, I mean, you personally, like, have a place where you could store all that?
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Alarmed video cameras.
All right. Well, my advice would be, yeah, take the 2 mil, unless you think it's worth more, and then just sell everything online.
Like $1 million worth of range equipment
like
in the building.
Like an eBay retailer, if you can. I don't know if you can do that, though.
Can't do that, no. You still have to go through an FFL either way. So I would still have to maintain my federal firearms license.
I got you. I got. And then we have
got 24 machine guns registered to the store, so that gets into it. You know, if somebody bought the place and they had an FFL, they just apply for an SOT, special occupations tax, and they could take the class 3 weapons and rent them. I mean, they pay for the building.
Folks, this is what I like about Sam. Normally, when people use acronyms, we throw a flag on the play, but you're like in the same sentence, back to back with the acronym, you explain what it means, right?
Pretty much.
What was that, a TTL?
SOT, Special Occupations Tax.
SOT,
same
all right.
Same as alcohol, tobacco, same thing. That's why, you know, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and terrorism. That's basically what ATF is, you know. They're the biggest domestic terrorists in the country.
Uh-oh, here we go. Sam's on a roll now. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. If you want to call in, say howdy to Sam Scarmardo, the owner of samsguns.com. And I want to talk about your new commercials here later in the show. Yeah. She sounds great. It's easy on the eyes, yeah. I must admit. Way younger than I am. So, but, you know, she's lots and lots of energy. But I want to talk about those discounts that you have later on in the show.
Okay, that's fine.
So we had an email that came into our general manager, Tracy Jones, and this is a nice little compliment. Today you had a guest, and this is about yesterday's show, that collects shoes for young girls. And we were talking with Michelle Lynn and Christine Watson from the Clothes Closet, and they're going to do a shoe drive for kids 4 through 18.
Yeah.
All inspired by a young woman who is entering her senior year or was entering her senior year at Lake Havasu High School. Didn't have shoes. Needed new shoes.
Well, so that sucks.
Had a size 15 women's shoe.
That's big.
That's a big shoe.
It's a big
for
girl
a high school
what?
Kid. I don't know. She said she was tall, is what Michelle said. So the listener says, today you had a guest that collects shoes for young girls. It inspired me so much. I'm going to contact them next week to see how I can support them before the school year ends. And that was from Michael. So not a nice thing to do.
We have, can I add something to shoes here?
What's that?
Well,
not
when,
here,
when the
no.
Shack. No, here. I'm not going to sell shoes.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just talking about
you don't look
that.
Like Al Bundy anyway.
No, not really. Any rate, down at the Phoenix Gun Show, which I used to do on a regular basis, Shaq walked through one time, and I sold him a Ruger 22 pistol.
Shaquille O'Neal, what size does he wear?
That's why I got to it. So you're talking about shoes. I says, I got to ask you, you know, because it takes a while to clear, 3-4 minutes to clear you. And he was a Arizona resident at the time. Otherwise, I couldn't have sold him a handgun.
Oh, right.
And
he played for Phoenix.
He had another one of the big famous ball players with him, too, and he didn't buy a gun. And he was very arrogant.
Uh-huh.
Any rate, I just asked him, I says, you know, while you're clearing, if it doesn't offend you, what size shoes do you wear? And he says, they're 24s. And I says, what do they cost you? He says, not an effing cent.
I bet.
He
says, I bet.
They give them to me all I want for nothing. And I
right.
forget what the manufacturer was.
I think he was a Converse guy, if I remember right.
Could be. I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, this has got to be 15 or 18 years ago now.
He was either Converse or Reebok. I'm pretty sure that Shaq did not wear Nikes. There was a special advertising campaign around Shaq, if
Could
I remember
be.
Right.
He's
so
very pleasant, very nice guy.
Right.
Yeah.
I once saw, and I now it was Bob Lanier. You remember Bob Lanier,
yeah.
the basketball player?
Yeah.
His shoe is in the national, whatever they call it, the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield,
sure.
Massachusetts. It was size 22.
Wow.
And that thing was, wow.
This Shaq
huge.
Is a giant.
Oh, yeah.
I have to tell you, he is
yeah.
a giant human being. I don't know if it's a glandular thing or his mom just fed him real well or what. But he's a foot taller than me, and I'm 6'2". He's a foot taller than me anyway, and I bet he had 150 pounds on me.
There's a documentary on him that I watched, and when his dad was stationed in Germany and the family was in Germany, and he first started playing, that's your phone. That's a flag on the play right there.
Yeah, well, let me turn it off.
His dad, the Sarge, was stationed in Germany, and the family was in Germany, and he started playing basketball. He was like 13 years old.
Yeah.
But he was 6'8" already.
Wow.
And the opposing teams, they would ask for a birth certificate. They didn't believe that he was in the age group that he was supposed to be in. So, yeah, he was kind of a late bloomer when it came to basketball, and he wasn't all that good. But then Dale Brown at LSU saw him, and the rest is history. He credits Dale Brown for a lot. So,
yeah.
Anyway, are you familiar with the burial of synthetic flags ceremony that they do
yeah.
here in
I
Havasu?
Am, yeah.
So we got a notice from Veterans Workforce Specialist Todd Baldwin, and this is the third annual ceremony for the burial of the synthetic flags on May 20th, 9 a.m. at 2130 Price Drive. Now, it's across from Blonzy's Steakhouse.
Yeah, Blonzy's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I didn't know where they buried them. I know that they no longer collect them at the VFW and at the Elks.
I see.
Because they're synthetic, and if they go to burn them, have their ritual burning and or ceremonial burning, that I guess it's polluting. It's causing acid rain or something. You know?
Oh, really? Probably.
Yeah. All that 1 or 2 grams, you know, all the BS yeah. that comes out of Al Sharpton's mouth is more than that. So.
Yeah. If you burn, incinerate 50 flags, then it creates climate change, right?
Absolutely. Don't you know?
Yeah, I
Don't
do.
You know?
I'm kidding. Anyway, we're going to post that to our KNTR Talk Facebook. So if you want to go on Facebook and check out the post and share that, we can get as many people out there as possible for the third annual flag ceremony for the burial of synthetic flags. And again, that's at 2130 Price Drive across from Blonzy's Steakhouse. And that's about all I have as far as housekeeping goes. But I've got an update. I found recently a very cool website on the ArizonaDailyIndependent.com.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly conservative leaning, but very fair at the same time. And this one caught my eye. I always laugh when it says a famous person responds to another famous person's tweet, right?
Yeah.
It always makes me laugh. So Elon Musk responds to Abe Hamadeh on Arizona's Election Day mismanagement. So on Tuesday, a tweet by Abe Hamadeh pointing out the perils of Election Day voting in Arizona caught the attention of Elon Musk. Now, wait till you see what a big deal. They made a story out of the one-word tweet, all right? Let's see. Hamadeh, the Republican nominee for Attorney General, is currently waging a fight in court to ensure that every single legal vote cast in Arizona's 2022 general election is counted. In April, last month, a judge in Mojave County issued a ruling in Hamadeh's election challenge against Chris Mays in the race for Arizona Attorney General, and that keeps that case alive, of course. So, as previously reported in the Arizona Daily Independent, Judge Lee Jansen ordered oral arguments to be held May 16th in Hamadeh's motion for a new trial in his battle to show he, not Mays, would have received the most votes on November 8, 2022, if valid ballots had not been rejected and if other ballots had been tabulated properly. The race between Mays and Hamadeh is the closest in the history of Arizona statewide elections, with just 280 votes still separating them.
Okay. Yeah.
So in his tweet, Hamadeh said, FYI, your ballot was 15 times more likely to be rejected if you voted on Election Day in Maricopa County. Musk, the owner of Twitter, responded, one word, strange. And they made a story out of this. That was a one-word tweet, strange. So in his series of tweets, Hamadeh also called it strange that he, like so many other Arizonans, received multiple ballots for multiple people no longer living at his address.
Sure.
Of course,
the Democrats would never collect them at all.
When he came back from the service, Hamadeh moved into the house that he had been renting,
and
the ballots came for those former renters. That's what he's referring to. The story goes on to say that too many people struggled to even cast a ballot on Election Day when dozens of laser printers malfunctioned during in-person voting in Maricopa County on November 8th. Over one-third of the county's 223 voting centers experienced malfunctions that eventually led to long lines and some voters being disenfranchised when they could no longer wait to vote. So, think about that. One-third of 223. What do you think that is? About 90?
90. Yeah, 80-something. Yeah.
90. That's crazy. So 223 voting centers, and 90 of those voting centers went down.
Yeah.
Really? So anyway,
what's her name? And I've said this on the radio show before, that what's this half-assed excuse for a governor we've got? What's her name?
Katie Snobbs. But yeah.
Katie Snobbs, yeah. Katie right. Hobbs. At any rate, her and Adrian Fontes, which is her assistant in crime. Any rate, they said when she first got elected to Secretary of State, she said it was up to her and Adrian. They'd never elect another Republican in Arizona.
Right.
She should have been impeached and removed from office 1 minute later. And why we've got, you know, and we have a pretty, I wish we had a bigger majority in the House and Senate here in Arizona. But we don't. We have a 1-1 is what we have. Majority, and one of the ones that claimed to be a Republican has never voted Republican in his life. So,
right. Interesting you should mention that. I want to talk about super majorities. And the state that's right next to us, of course, California, has a super majority of Democrats.
Communists, yeah.
You'll be surprised to find from Mike Slater, who works at San Diego's Talk AM 760, he sometimes subs for Bill O'Reilly on the nighttime vignettes that we have that run for three different hours. So cause they run at like 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30.
Yeah.
All right. After his show, it's usually during Dave Ramsey. So Slater breaks this down. You're going to be really surprised, Sam, at how many Republican supermajorities there are. Let's take a listen.
North Carolina has advanced a bill in their state Senate, sending it now to the governor, that would ban abortion after 12 weeks. Current law is 20 weeks. The thing is, the governor is a Democrat, and he says he will veto this extreme legislation. But the Republicans have a veto-proof majority in both their state House and Senate. I live in California. We have a Democrat supermajority. Dems can do whatever they want. This supermajority, one way or the other, is shockingly common. There are 20 states that have a Republican supermajority and 9 states that have a Democrat supermajority. Isn't that amazing? A majority of the states have a supermajority in the state legislature. Now, what's really interesting is there's one state where the Democrats have a supermajority in the legislature, but a Republican governor. It's Vermont. And there's 4 states that have a Republican supermajority, but a Democratic governor. How's that work? Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and North Carolina.
So what do you think of that?
Well, they're good old boys. The governors are good old boys in all 4 of those states. So.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, you know. So they just been around so long that, you know, nobody would vote against them if they were Martians, you know. Nobody would vote against them, so.
I just found that so fascinating that, and a supermajority is 66%, correct?
66 plus 1.
Yeah, right. I used to think it was 75-25, and I think that is what it is in California.
Well, in some, it's 60%. I think here in Arizona, we're 60%, 60 votes, if I'm not mistaken.
That makes a supermajority?
Makes a, 60 plus 1.
Right.
I may be wrong, and they may have changed it, but that's what it used to be.
It didn't surprise me, you know, the tamale bill. You heard about that one, right?
Yeah.
What did they call that? The something kitchen. I can't remember. Anyway, the tamale bill that Hobbs vetoed, they couldn't get an override on that. And Leo was in the studio last week, I believe it was, saying that, or the week before, saying that he thought they may be able to, but he wasn't sure how squishy some of the Democrats were, and it turns out they were super squishy, so.
Well, you don't expect. I mean, the Communist Party controls the state of Arizona, or at least the Democrats in the state of Arizona now, and it's definitely a communist. They don't even call them Democrats.
Right.
They ceased being Democrats 15, 18 years ago. And they're just sworn fealty to Vladimir Lenin anymore. So.
Yeah, interesting. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back with more. Of course, it's Cinco de Mayo. Some people call it Cinco de Drinko, right?
Big deal.
You're just drinking zero sugar.
Zero Coke.
Today, zero sugar Coke. Coke Zero. We're not doing the tequila or anything yet. That might be later at my house. Who knows?
Tequila. Rum I like.
You're not a big tequila drinker?
Not at all.
There's good sipping tequilas out there that I like.
I heard that.
Yeah, there are.
Never tasted one. You know, I buy, when we go down to San Felipe, I buy the one that's $5 for 3 liters.
Now they're putting sugar on the rims of glasses.
Really?
Yeah, instead of salt.
Oh.
They'll ask you, do you want salt or sugar? And I'm like, I'll just do it on the rocks, no salt. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a short break. We're with Sam Scarmato, samsguns.com owner, of course, and Speak Out. We'll continue in a moment. Stay with us. We're back on Speak Out with Sam Scarmato, owner of samsguns.com. And I was going to do a drop on this. The Lake Havasu Ballet presents Swan Lake, but then you gave me this big scowl.
I didn't, you know, Ellie drugged me when we were either in St. Petersburg or Moscow a couple years ago. She got free tickets to see Swan Lake.
Uh-huh.
After about Act 14, I was ready to jump off the balcony and commit suicide. It was like this. It's hours long.
Was it the classical music or the
No, it was the ballet. I heard classical music.
Yeah?
But, you know, it's like thumping around.
Right.
And a guy's obviously wearing gigantic cod pieces, so, that, you know, looks like they're super well endowed.
That's called a dance belt.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I actually, my PE credit in college was ballet.
Ah, That explains it.
Yeah, that explains a lot. And I'll tell you what it really explains. I was the only guy in a class with 13 women.
Well, that would make a difference,
exactly.
Too.
See, now you get...
They're all very muscular, well-endowed, well built women as a rule.
I wouldn't say they were East German swimmers, but they were definitely in shape.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, the girls were cute at the, when we right. just swam lake, but that was the other time I went to ballet in my life. Operas I like. I love operas. We go to the operas in Phoenix.
So I'm told get your tickets now. They're going fast at lakehavasuballet.org. Shows are tomorrow and Sunday, 7 p.m. tomorrow, 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday, and that's at the Performing Arts Center at the high school. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. They're at lesolson.com/Kingman. Prospectors RV Resort. You looking for a hookup, Sam?
No. I'm already married.
Perfect. I should do that joke with you every month. 4750 London Bridge Road in Havasu. Hookups are $645 a month plus electric.
Yeah, that's what the guy Joe that works for me would just move from there.
Oh, good. And our newest sponsor, The Chair. Havasu-style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. Dallas and Danny, at least Dallas, I know, is an avid Speak Out listener.
Yes, he is, what I understand. They need to go back and making their own key lime pies.
Yeah?
They're buying them somewhere now, but the ones that they used to make at Sully were phenomenal.
Are you listening, Dallas? There's some business advice from Sam Scarmardo.
See, key lime pie is like the focal point of my life. So.
No kidding.
One of, you know.
Are you familiar with those, what are they called? The boats that have the... that have no motor that they tow to the beach for you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, I think he's on the line right now. And caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Dallas, tell us about the boats with no motor.
Oh, cabana boats.
Cabana boats.
Ah, okay.
They tow it to a beach for you. Can you imagine him coming to you, hey, I want to start a company that has boats with no motors. What would you say? I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. I'd have to hear more detail.
Hey, I was laughed at quite a bit.
That's a great idea, though.
Yeah, but are they making you money?
They're a machine, yes.
Oh, there you go. Hey, what's going on, Dallas?
I was going to comment on the key lime pie.
Oh, go for it.
So, Sam, I am sorry. We had an employee that was a baker that made those. And she moved away.
Oh.
Well, you need to get someone back here to do them because they were phenomenal. I mean, I would go out there just to buy a key lime pie after I ate a wonderful hamburger.
Right.
They make good ones across Main Street here at, what's that called? That little Amore Bakery?
Amore, yeah.
They make very good key lime pies there, but they're just not your former key lime pie.
You could try a wholesale deal there.
We tried. To duplicate it, but she was holding tight to that recipe.
Oh, interesting. Must have been mom's recipe or something.
Yeah.
They were yummy.
Hey, thanks.
I agree.
Thanks, Dallas. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. All right. So, you know, the CEO of Anheuser-Busch is speaking out about, you know,
about
if someone
that.
Speaks out, then we feature it here on Speak Out, but he's speaking up on the Bud Light controversy. And he's found himself at the center of the culture wars on social media in recent weeks. Bud Light ad campaign. Company CEO Michael Dimitrios Doukaris doesn't seem too worried about the backlash over Dylan McDermott. That's his name, right?
Mulvaney.
Where did I get
McDermott? As I said last month, you know, Dylan Rump Ranger. So
while Doukaris confirmed reports about a significant decline in sales since the controversy erupted, Bud Light sales volume in the U.S. declined over the first 3 weeks of April. He also stated that his company is well equipped to handle the pressure thanks to its global portfolio. So basically, I don't want to read the whole article. It's very, very long.
It's a very long one, but it's a good article. I read it this morning.
Basically, what he's saying is, hey, USA, middle finger to you. We have other countries we sell our product in.
Well, not every other country glorifies homosexuality and transsexual life.
He says it's only 1% of their overall global volumes for that period.
Hmm.
Well, I think their stock would reflect otherwise.
Yeah, $5+ billion a side drop in stock value.
I think it was 6%. If I remember right, $6 billion. It was quite a large.
Well, then
amount.
We can hope it's a $10 billion loss before long.
Right. Anyway, Bud Light CEO. Yeah, he's basically sticking his middle finger up to the U.S.
Pretty much
saying, you know what? So what? We don't care. There you go. So I needed to ask you too about your recent offer. You have Cassidy. You
yes.
had come in record a commercial. Does a great job, by the way.
Very good. Very vocal person.
She should be your new spokesperson. You should have an ad to sell the store and feature her on the ad.
That's we're thinking about that.
You'd probably sell it in less than a month. You know that? So who is Cassidy and what is the – it's a $5 off offer, right?
Well, that's every Thursday's $5 off. But if you come in and mention the commercial, you get $5 off anytime instead of Thunder Thursday we have, which is come in and shoot half price on the range all day.
Oh, okay, because the way it sounds is that you can just shoot for free because it's $5 off.
No, you're not going to shoot for free. Service guys can almost shoot for free.
Right.
You know, retired service guys are current and law enforcement.
How's business right now?
You know, the range is doing real well. I'm waiting for a couple more states to outlaw AR-15s because I'm sitting on a little over 200 of them, so.
Right. Don't you love the mainstream media? It's all, you know, what do they call them? Semi-automatic assault weapons.
Well, some of them call them semi-automatic machine guns.
Oh, nice.
So that would be
a
CNN
9mm?
And MSNBC, yeah.
So they classify a 9mm as a machine gun?
Yeah, well, if it's full auto, if it fires more than one round with a pull of the trigger, it's a machine gun.
Uh-huh. It's amazing. It's just amazing to me, the level.
See, technically, if it's got a handgun cartridge, it's a submachine gun.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take another break, and we'll come back.
Talk about how rotten the city council is.
I'm not sure if we can actually go there, but we'll let you speak out on that. All right. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Save that one in your cell phone. By the way, the website is back up. So if you want to hear the Havasu Pioneers radio show from Wednesday, you can catch that. It's dragging a little bit, but just be patient. Your page will come up. Again, 854-KNTR, area code 928-854-KNTR. Give us a call.
From the dock, watching the waves roll off the rocks. She'll forever hold a spot inside my soul. We'd blister in the sun. We couldn't wait for night to come to hit that sand and play some rock and roll. While we were trying different things, we were smoking funny things, making love out by the lake to our favorite song. Sipping whiskey out the bar.
That song. Good song. Oh, sorry. There you go. You know, Hank Williams Jr. is on that song.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very.
He's a firearm dealer.
He is. A dealer?
Yeah, a dealer.
Oh, wow. All right. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, of course.
Absolutely. Which is for sale.
With Cassidy doing all the voiceover work.
She does a great job, though.
Boy, she really does. And the funny part is, don't tell Sam. And people come in and talk about that ad, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time. She's got people, because she has a following already. She's only been with us about a month. So.
She's a firearms influencer. Nice.
I think so.
All right. By the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake. With team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, also Dorita's Place. providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Also featuring, Jim Russell says they have a conveyor belt, but they really don't. Self-service doggy washes. No conveyor belt, though.
Nope.
And by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And shop local because small business is kind of a big deal. Speaking of small business, have you sold the store yet?
Negative. Not in the last minute since I mentioned it was still for sale.
So how much crap do you get from Ellie about selling the store?
Every time.
Every day?
I change realtors, and like five times a day. Did you talk to the realtor? I says, not since you asked me an hour ago, no.
What are you going to do if you do sell the store?
Buy her out.
You're going to buy out Ellie? You go, wait, you can buy out your own wife? And then what do you do?
I don't know. Who knows?
Give her an RV?
She bought an RV.
Oh.
She already bought an RV, which we've taken a trip to Texas and one to Illinois in.
Okay. That's funny. Mm-hmm. So, how
she
do you like her?
She just wants to travel all the time. She goes to, she actually got the shot yesterday.
Wait,
the
what
jab.
Shot? Which jab?
The jab, the COVID jab.
The Moderna or the Pfizer?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, mostly Mojave County is about Moderna.
Well, so she was supposed to get the safer. Johnson & Johnson one because it has no MNRA or mRNA or whatever it is.
mRNA, right.
Yeah, and so she's going to, at the end of this month, she's going to Indonesia.
Oh, is that a requirement?
Yes, it is indeed.
I'll be darned.
All those third world countries, you still have to get the shot and wear a mask and kiss somebody's butt, you know.
Well, don't you have to get a series of inoculations when you go to some foreign countries like India and that, or, you know, for hepatitis C and... I mean,
yeah, could be. I don't know. I go to Africa a lot. I've had all those shots multiple times. So.
Right, right. What do you think of the situation at Fox with Tucker? And did you watch Tucker Carlson? Did you watch that show?
Occasionally. I just wasn't on my schedule. You know, I don't watch TV very much.
Yeah, right, right. And for me, I don't watch Fox because, number one, I don't stream live TV like that. Mm-hmm. I have antenna. But I also stream like Hulu and HBO and stuff like that. But I listen to news all day long. It's playing on a radio right behind my desk.
Right.
I want to go home and listen to that too. So
I'm very news oriented.
So we told you about Mike Slater earlier. He's from San Diego's Talk AM 760. And you'll be able to, these are all from tonight, by the way. Tonight's Bill O'Reilly reports that are at the bottom of the hour, 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30. Here's a really interesting idea that's been floating around in media circles. Check this out.
And finally, rumor has it that Tucker Carlson wants to host his own GOP candidate forum and take the debates away from the death grip of the lamestream media. I think the debate formats are completely worthless, need to be thrown away years ago. But what do we replace it with? Would you watch a forum with a completely different format, moderated by Tucker?
In a heartbeat.
Right?
So fast it would make your head spin.
Oh, I think that might rival a Super Bowl viewing audience, you know, in the U.S., not worldwide.
No.
I think that's a ratings bonanza. And the longer he stays quiet and off of your TV, the more people are going to want to see something
like
that.
Well, there's a bell curve on that. You know,
you think
so? Right at the top, yeah, there's a bell curve at that. Because people have notoriously short memories. And, you know, I like Tucker Carlson.
Especially when it comes to politics.
Mm-hmm.
They have short memories. That I always tell Steve the half-life of political memory here in the U.S. is about maybe 3 weeks. And now with
about that.
And now with 24-hour news cycle, holy cow.
Yeah.
There's hardly, nobody remembers anything, you know, unless Trump says something, right? The thing with John McCain when he said he wasn't a hero, that really stuck.
That stuck, still sticks, unfortunately.
It sticks with a lot of veterans, too.
Yeah, it does, with a lot of veterans. I wasn't a big fan of John McCain anyway.
Right, right.
You know, granted, he did some heroic stuff. He also did some lame stuff as well, but, you know, I sent him checks like I send all serious conservative candidates.
I got you. So what's your beef with the city? And we're not talking recall here.
No, we're not talking recall anymore, no, because there's really not a big following for recall. You know, I've handed it around. I mean, it may materialize. They're not even legal to be recalled until like the 4th of July or 5th of July anyway. But We have, the, as far as I'm concerned, and having worked with two mayors here, this is the most corrupt city council I've ever seen. Seriously. They don't want to hear anything. And I jumped our mayor, our wonderful mayor here Monday at the Republican Women's Dinner about how much is the courthouse going to cost now? Because initially it was only going to cost $3 to $5 million.
And then it went to 5.1. But well, that was with the upstairs renovation too,
well,
right?
That was with the upstairs. Well, now I asked him publicly on the mic when he was on the microphone, how much is the courthouse going to cost now? And he said 10 million. And then he came over to me afterwards and says, I have to correct that just to you personally, 10.9. So that's 11. Technically, if they build it for less than 13, I'll kiss your butt on Main Street out here.
I won't let you do that, but so, thanks for the gesture.
Okay, well, so it'll be $12 million before it's all over and done with. Then I ask him about, you know, I says, every meeting, and I lost so much respect for Cal Mundy because he's a, unfortunately, he just figures he can lie to me without any recourse. But unfortunately, I talk a lot about it. And when it comes to time for him to run for re-election, I'll run somebody against him. Not me.
But now, he said this in front of a group of people?
Yeah. And then he says...
10?
He said 10, and then he came over to correct it. 10.9 million.
Right. But still, that's double the cost.
Triple.
Well, no, double the cost of that was last projected.
Yeah, and I want to know what happened to all the gym equipment that was in there. Because I wanted to get a leg press machine. And they said, no, all the things that they put out there was for sale to the public was...
I thought the police facility got that. For their training room.
There was enough of that equipment. The training room and the police facility isn't as big as this office.
Oh, okay.
Because I used to use the equipment there.
Right. Well, the real training room is the city council chambers.
Well, technically, yeah.
Yeah. But that's been the council chambers for 25 years.
I don't know how much time we have left here. I told Cal that because I was in charge of building the city hall. I took the project at that point in time away from I forget who was building it, some consultant, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm making air fingers here, air quotes, and it was going to be $10.8 million. Well, we took it over, fired them, and we built it keys in our hand for $3.4 million. The Port Drive facility down there was going to be $3.8 million. And this is all record. Anybody wants to look it up, they can look it up. We built it for $990,000.
Oh.
You know the Public Works facility there?
Yes.
And
what year was that?
Well, that was 26 years, 23 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
It's beside the point.
In fiscal years, that is a long time ago.
Absolutely. But the point is, it's there's so much fluff in this thing that they're paying the consultants like $1 million for what?
Right.
You could get a general contractor in here to build a second floor in that place because the structure was there already. So at any rate, I asked Cal, I said, you know, you quote Robert's Rules of Order every single meeting, virtually. So I says, I'm having, and I hold up my phone. I says, this is Robert's Rules of Order. You can't second a second. And that's what you guys, I think Jim Dolan proposed it, and then they all voted on it. Because they're trying to shut Michelle Lynn and Nancy Campbell down, is what they're trying to do. They don't want any input from them because I guess they're considered by the powers that be and whoever's pulling the city council strings, which I think is this half-ass excuse for a city manager we've got who has got to go.
Okay.
He has got to go. This guy, he does nothing.
Tuesday if you want to call in, by the way.
Oh, I'll call in Tuesday.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. Yeah,
you better leave a half an hour for questions taken.
All right.
Because I want him gone. This guy is a terrible city manager. The worst we've ever seen, and I've seen six or seven of them.
So what's the agenda against Lynn and Campbell?
He doesn't want them to raise anything. So at any rate, he says it's just to expedite the meetings, make them run smoother. I says, so you're violating Robert's Rules of Order, which you quote like is the Holy Bible, and the two tablets coming down from the mount. Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, that's just to expedite the meeting, make them run smoother and faster. I says, by doing what? Cutting off anybody who wants to get something on the agenda. And then goes this big diatribe. And I like Cal. I like Cal. I don't like being lied to. And he freaking outright lied to me, and it just seriously peed me off.
What's your feelings about moving the call to the public to the end?
I don't like it.
You don't like that either?
No, at all. What? They're just shutting down input from the city, from the citizens.
Okay. We have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, Paul and Sam Scarmato. David D is here.
Hey, David Diaz. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I just tuned in. I forgot my good friend Sam was going to be on, but I don't know if you already covered this, but Sam, you might know. Can you give us a little history of the bridge the second bridge and all that. All
yeah,
that.
23 years ago when Greeley and I, Steve Greeley, who owns the station, were on, we passed an action to where we put $1 million every single budget to pay for the second bridge. So that would, if that had been followed through on, and I don't know which one of the lousy city councils that followed up on it, Steve and I were on the most efficient and most, you know, we paid off an $18 million debt that the previous city council had run up on stuff like, you know, the aquatic center that didn't have an access road that we had to buy.
Right.
And the what do they call it? The
well, you also
Taj
took
Mahal. Wait a minute.
You also took
Mahal.
Over Sarah Park.
No, that was later.
Yeah, okay.
Any rate, the Taj, they called the Taj Mahal for the fire academy and the police department. Well, you know, we paid all that stuff off, and we left, when I left council, which would have been January of 2001, I think it was, 2000 or 2001, we had $53 million to the plus, to the good. Mm-hmm. And we had $3.5 million in the bank for the second bridge. What happened to that $3.5 million?
Yeah, good question.
And this city council does not want anything to do. Sonny Borelli mentioned that they have the money for the second bridge right now. They can build the bridge. And it has no priority whatsoever with the city council. I want to know why. If there's an emergency on that island, something big seriously happens, right, they're going to have to get helicopters in to lift people up.
And they're talking one more study, by the way.
Yeah, another, and these studies are all million-dollar studies.
Oh, I know this. So that one's like 1.5 at least. So yeah. And we've already done one.
And my council bought both ends of the bridge.
I want to shift to, because we're coming down to the end of the show, and it is Cinco de Mayo. And I know his voice drives you crazy, but I've got some Bill O'Reilly, all right?
I like Bill O'Reilly.
And he's talking about the history of Cinco de Mayo. And this may really surprise you, some of the things that Bill O'Reilly says. I believe this is on tonight as well, so we're going to give you a sneak preview right now.
Okay.
Now, the O'Reilly update brings you something you might not know. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Now, contrary to popular belief, it is not Mexico's Independence Day. That's in September. The 5th of May actually marks a minor victory by the Mexican army over the French. Here is the story. During the 1860s, Mexico was in financial ruin. The country defaulted on dozens of loans with European banks. Britain and Spain agreed to new terms with the Mexicans, but France refused. Napoleon III deployed 6,000 troops to reclaim French money. Mexican President Benito Juarez dispatched a small group of soldiers to defend the city of Puebla. The battle lasted from daybreak to early evening. When the French finally retreated, they had lost more than 500 soldiers. Fewer than 100 Mexicans were killed. Napoleon then abandoned his dream of expanding the French Empire in North America and withdrew all forces back to Europe. In modern-day Mexico, Cinco de Mayo is regarded as a minor holiday. A few cities hold parades to commemorate the Battle of Puebla. But north of the border, the 5th of May is a big deal. The holiday was officially endorsed by President Roosevelt back in 1933 while promoting his so-called good neighbor policy with Latin America. Today, Cinco de Mayo has evolved into a general celebration of Mexican culture, mainly the food. Sales of nachos, tacos, and guacamole jumped 50%. Many folks in Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico take the day off. And here's something else you might not know. Mexican Americans currently make up 12% of the U.S. population. That's roughly 40 million people. To honor the Battle of the Puebla, there are more than 300 official Cinco de Mayo celebrations in 20 states. The holiday is celebrated by more people in the USA than it is in Mexico.
So how about that?
Well, what Bill fails to mention right there is how many of the 40 million are legal and how many of them are non-citizens.
He might just be saying legal.
No.
No?
No.
You think that's total?
That's total. I know that, you know, the breakdown of Hispanics right now is about 16% total.
Right.
It's like the African Americans are 13.6%. We're 60%. You know, the Anglo Americans are 60%. I don't know. We put up with all this BS. But closing on what I started about the city council, and yeah. I agree with that. But, you know, I like Bill O'Reilly. You know, he does that faulting and pausing in his voice.
That's
which
what
is slightly
crazy.
Irritating me.
Yeah, I know. I can see you just getting agitated by the minute.
You know, but you know, the point is, this city council has got major people from this community seriously peed off. You know, they're not listening to anybody. They're doing everything they can to stifle public input, and they're spending money like drunken sailors. You know, what gave the city manager the right to take $1 million of taxpayers' money and give it away for charity? And I'll close with that. He's got to go.
That was for COVID-related projects.
It's charity.
You couldn't just use it on anything, though, Sam.
It's charity.
I'm just telling you, that couldn't be used on just anything.
And what is it being used on? Charities.
Okay. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just telling you that...
Because you would lose.
No, it's COVID-related projects. That's what the government issued it for. Okay, you can do that gesture all you want. I'm telling you what it's for. All right, we got to take a short break. Probably going to run this up to the top of the hour, and it's been a great show today. Good job, Sam.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Paulie.
Sell the store. All right.
You buy it. Why don't you buy it?
We'll be back on Monday on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.